Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, and Lucy Freeman, and the permanently baffled, not so permanently baffled anymore, Mr. Newbie. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
This Week in Ambridge was brought to you by the Undateables and Clenched Teeth. Layla is a real human lady. Roy took her to a restaurant without knowing where it was, which was a bold move. He's met the only woman in the world who's more socially awkward than he is. Instead of lecturing her on how to make a civilised complaint, he could have just said, "Excuse me, my friend ordered the duck, thank you." Over at the Cottage of Gloom, Ian was muttering Irishly and was only pushed to challenge Adam about his weird behaviour when Helen threatened him with a picnic in the garden made by the psycho and the mute. Once he arrived, the prospect of it was just too awful, so he went herring off to intercept Adam, who was meeting Michael at the George. Still with me? I might throw in a few more names in a minute just to confuse you even more. Anyway, Michael said he wanted to go further, Adam said he wanted another drink, and Ian made a scene so enormous it was like Sunset Boulevard in a small country pub. I kept imagining him at the top of a flight of stairs in a feather boa. No more lies, Adam! The two of them in the end brought Ian down with a tranquilizer dart and he crashed to the floor like a felled ox. At least Adam's actually got something to sound anguished about now. It must be quite a treat for him. Joy brought up Cowpat Roulette at the Village Fete. At first, Linda liked it because she thought it was a game trying to guess at what point Pat would start being a cow. But it was actually an opportunity, first time ever, for the Fete to make money out of being a pile of shit. Winner all round. Joy said that as long as the weather stayed nice, it would be a great day. Stayed nice? Half the country is completely submerged. Linda was worried their plans hadn't been enough. But who in their right mind would think that watching a cow have a poo and trailing round a village looking at piles of sacking dressed as Boris Johnson wouldn't keep everyone entertained for a full day? Linda wanted something that would put a spoke in Darrington's wheel to defeat Evangeline Lowminster. I know. Send someone with a bit of a cough to Darrington, they'll all get pinged and no one will be able to leave the bloody house. But no, they went for something more low-key and unambitious. Yet another celebrity to come and judge the sodding scarecrows. I have said it before and I will say it again. Unless you happen to have a bona fide celebrity living in your village, the closest you are going to get to a famous person coming to your potty little fete is someone that once sat three rows back from Gemma Collins on an EasyJet flight to Mykonos. Ambridge is insane. We've had that cycling man doing something or other, Princess Margaret, Terry Wogan, Dame Judi Dench. What next? Michelle Obama's popping over to judge the potato that looks most like Shula Hebden Lloyd. Joy then got a bit confused and forgot it was to judge scarecrows and thought it was a dog show and started talking about best in show and most furry. Easy. Best in show is Jakob Hackinson, most furry is Mince Casey. Back like a doormat. Meanwhile, back in the world of the heavily dramatic, Adam even managed to sound depressed about Xander's new tractor. There followed a significant chunk of dialogue that came straight off Love Island. Honestly, I tried it. If you just changed the accent, it absolutely was. I just don't think I can trust you anymore, Darren. Is that what we're talking about then? Splitting up, Destiny? For one blissful moment, I thought they were going to separate and get on with their own damn business. But damn it, they've stayed together and are going to try. Well, okay then, but do it quietly. As if a second date with Roy wasn't bad enough, the poor cow Layla booked into the cattle fighting ring with the compost bog. And not only that, but Kate's dreadlocked head then poked around Layla's flaps, said moo, and trampled the tent. I still couldn't establish where Kate is actually living now, by the way. Under a massage table in a yurt, maybe. Another mystery is that Krusty appeared to be working back at Gay Grable's again. Did I miss another meeting? I thought I could remember her leaving. I mean, there wasn't a leaving do, or maybe they had one and just didn't tell me after last time. But I could have sworn, but never mind. Roy and Krusty began a wildly inappropriate discussion about no-string sex. Krusty was totally baffled by the concept of the word fun. She kept saying, fun! Roy was saying, you know, when you smile. No, no, I'm still not getting it, Roy. When you're happy. Happy? No, no, you've still lost me, Roy. Roy then went on to show Krusty ladies with their tops off on the internet. I worry you might get hurt, said Krusty, especially by that big one in the PVC with the electric probe. Phoebe came in and Krusty told her they were looking at curtains, which was very nearly right. We began Thursday talking about the effing fate again. The next bout of lunacy is that a Hollywood film star is going to open a wing of Borchester Hospital. For crying out loud, this does not happen. It is a minor royal that opens a hospital. Princess Graham of Kettering or something. No one knows who she is, but everyone's impressed as she's got hair like a 99 and really high shoes. And she says, oh, how lovely, and snips a bit of ribbon. And then a week later, the wing is shut again, either because of understaffing or because the roof's fallen in. Jim Lloyd's completely unknown academic has been snapped up and won't be coming. Except she will, won't she, because it's Mary Beard or Lucy Worsley or some other posh bird who wants to plug a new show. And she'll suddenly find herself free and oh hurrah, the fate has been saved and stop it at once. So, in conclusion, Hollywood film stars do not open hospitals and every other village fate everywhere that is not in the Cotswolds and does not have Jeremy Clarkson and David Cameron and people from Blur hanging about does not have a celebrity to open a fate. It just sort of starts because we're not living in 1932 and no one has to declare things open. Thank you. The end.
Oh, you're so angry.
I know. Wasn't it feisty today, wasn't I?
It was feisty, Lucy. I thought we were going to ease back in gently after my holiday.
It made me so cross. How many times can we do this storyline? It's so lazy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Every episode this week, I was like, yay, this is my kind of Archers. Yay. Just silly stories. Funny, funniness. Celebs. I love it when they get a celeb. I love the celebrity drama. And then it's always a massive anti-climax.
Yes.
Because someone you have to look up on Wikipedia. Yeah.
I think it will be Mary Beard, though. And I think they'll go, Jim, why did you not say, you know, you could have told us she was famous. And he'll go, well, I don't know. I don't watch television, do I? I didn't know that she was, you know.
No, I think it will just be Linda.
No, I think it will be.
Oh, do you think they'll pull one out the bag?
Yeah. Whoever's in the press, whoever needs to plug something in the press office.
We could ask everything falling over. Mr. Newby's left my studio an absolute mess, Lucy.
He recharged your appliance, by the way. It's on in the corner.
Okay, thanks. Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, I'll need that later. yes, we could ask the academic... I can't speak anymore. I'm just going to stop.
Can we just say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that we are recording this at 7:30 in the morning on Friday. Harriet has only had one espresso. I've had two, but I am in my dressing gown and slippers doing this.
I've only had one espresso. I haven't had my well woman. No. And I've barely brushed my teeth. I feel like I've, you know, when you get up really early to go to Heathrow.
Yes.
You know.
And you're slightly, everything's slightly hallucinogenic and wobbly.
Yeah, totally. You're not really sure if you are speaking.
No. Or if whether it was an inside thought or an outside thought.
It's only because it's one of those weeks.
Yeah, it's always one of those weeks, though, isn't it? Let's face it. We've never had a week that wasn't one of those weeks.
Except the week I went on holiday, which was really nice.
So how did the costume go down? But hopefully it didn't go down. The sea folly.
Well, now I spent so much money on it. But then the trouble with that silly old sea folly, it doesn't dry. I think you're supposed to, like, just never go in the sea.
It's the ruching. You're just supposed to lie there with matte red lipstick on, holding a cocktail for Instagram.
I was cross because I wore it once and everyone said, oh, nice costume. And I felt good. But I went in the sea and then I was freezing for the rest of the day because it just wouldn't blooming dry. And even though it was a heat wave, it's still quite chilly in the sea.
Yeah.
So I just wore my Speedos next few days.
Your stretchy Speedos that are transparent in bits.
Yes, they're transparent on the bums. But actually, because there was no one there that cared. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. I was only with my old friends. I don't know who I was trying to impress.
And your children going, we can see your bottom. But they're always saying things like that anyway, aren't they, children?
And there were so many jellyfish anyway that we were constantly...
Was that? Yeah.
Oh, yes. There was a lot of jellyfish. And because the sea was transparent, and I'm not joking, it was like clear, beautiful water, you could see them all. So, yeah, we're swimming with jellies.
The big dangly ones. Or the small,
well, the
nippy ones.
The local ones were called compass jellyfish. They're quite big, like 20 centimetres circumference.
Wow, did your children have a screaming abdabs or not?
Yeah, everyone got stung, but it wasn't too bad. Okay. The worst thing was when another little girl in our group got stung by a weaver fish.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my God, she was screaming for... No, Lucy, that's a myth.
Is it?
No.
Okay. The people I've weed on must be really, really cross now.
Apparently, if it's a jelly, you need to rub it with sand.
Oh.
And if it's a weaver fish, you basically just need to make sure it doesn't become septic.
Go to A&E. Okay.
You just go to A&E. No wee needed.
Little girl.
Oh, she was all right in the end, luckily. No, but it was, apart from those dramas, but I think it was like being abroad. It was like being in Australia because there was so much scary wildlife, but also amazing sunshine and gorgeous sea that it was fun.
Kangaroos, wallabies. Tom Peach has now abandoned us and has started emailing Mr. Newbie. Did you know?
I know. I heard that. I was actually a little bit hurt.
Were you?
But, I mean, like, where did that come from? Do you think Mr. Newbie's been having a secret dialogue with him somewhere else?
Well, did you hear the appeals for attention he was giving? I need more love, he was saying. Just email me, listeners, not them, he was saying.
He got on the show and did a good job. I'd hire him again.
Would you?
Yeah,
Well, I'm seeing it as a 3-month trial period. We'll see how he goes.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I did listen. Oh, I giggled along when you said it, because I nearly didn't listen.
I know. She'll not listen. It's fine.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I didn't listen to the Archers that week, so I was like, oh, it's probably going to be a bit boring for me. Don't know who they're talking about.
Don't know, don't care. So what did you think about Adam and Ian?
It just made me laugh so much. Where did it come from for a start? Because about 3 weeks ago, they were in Lee's house having that hilarious panto, you know, buttons and Dandini doing the wallpapering, and everything was roses.
Mind the that next, bucket. Oops.
We're like, oh, aren't we a smug married couple? Mm. And then suddenly,
It was because Ian, because
stole the
Adam
money.
Was, Adam stole
but,
the money.
But
and
Adam's
he didn't
always
want to admit
behaving
it.
Like, yeah, but also like Adam's behaviour never changes.
No.
He's always moody.
A consistent twat. Yes.
Well, also just moody, aggressive, not a very nice person to be around and super intense. So for Ian to suddenly go...
Do you know what? I've just realised you're moody and super intense. I don't like that. I've just come to my senses. Yeah.
And to jump to the conclusion, I mean, it was good drama. I did enjoy it, but it was quite
Adam's
unbelievable.
He's been through Polish pickers like a flipping dose of coronavirus.
Yes, I wouldn't trust him.
No.
I wouldn't trust him. But also, like, they've got, I just feel like there'd be no time. I don't know how Ian can even sort of imagine that Adam has time. He's constantly doing...
He knew that Adam was keeping a secret from him. And...
Yes, Adam is such a dick for not... I mean, also, if you're not going to tell your partner about stealing a bit of money, don't then tell him in a pub in front of someone who's literally offered you a job.
But it was so weird because...
Oh, my God, why didn't he...
I was totally on Ian's side. And then I was thinking... Shut up, Ian. Just let him tell you what's happened. But they had to keep it really oblique. So it just got worse and worse. And I thought if Adam had just said, Ian, come over here, please. Right. This is what's happened. This is a job interview. Shush. Yeah.
Exactly. Shush.
And
shush,
we will talk
shush,
later.
Shush.
But instead of this kind of, I want to know the truth. And, you know, and all this drama.
Then to go, all right, I stole some money. Yeah. I'm a criminal. I should never be employed by anybody.
Don't listen to this bit, Michael. Yes.
Michael, go to the toilet while I just have a... Yeah, why not just say, I'm so sorry, Michael. Can I, yeah. You know, I need to, you know... So
yeah, we'll just say...
We're having a personal
thing. Say, Ian, this is Michael, who I'm talking about getting a new job with.
It's just, it was...
Yeah,
it was
and Michael would have said, oop, I'll leave you two to it. It's fine. But then he said, there is nothing I want to say that I wouldn't say in front of him, I thought, oh, God, here we go.
I know. Awful. It was just pathetic, as if you would have your Barney in front of, a potential employer.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I don't have any feelings towards Adam and Ian, really. I don't,
no.
Like you, I'm not that bothered whether they stay together. I mean, Xander, as far as I can see, is just always napping anyway. So he's just the easiest child
to bring
up. All
he ever says, oh, look, he's spark out. This is my terrible Irish accent. Which isn't right.
Lucy, wow.
No, I know. Shit.
Spark you, are you shy?
Like
spark
French.
Out, Adam, I spark out.
I sound like French and Saunders when she talked French, just kept going, how are you? That's all they ever say about how heavily asleep he is to explain the fact that he never moves.
Because you forget that they're parents. Yes. I do anyway.
Well, because they both act like children. That's
they
why.
They both act you like children. Mm. No one ever bothers looking after Xander.
No.
Or, I suppose because he just naps all day.
He has a quick go with a stickle brick and then that's it. He's out for the count for the 4 hours.
But it's like because Adam... Because their relationship is always that intense. Imagine their domestic... You know, like, because Adam, like, you know, his video game voice is on constantly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I was thinking, like, when he's changing, if he ever changes Xander's nappy, he must be like, you know, if he puts it on the wrong way and he'd be like, yes, I made a mistake, but I promise, Ian, it will never happen again. This pseudocreme looks like that other cream we use in the bedroom. I'm sorry I put the wrong one on. It's hard for me right now. And poor Xander's just like, oh,
Daddy, I'm
somebody
scared.
Can I go and live with Alice? But it's like, they must be so intense being them.
Can you imagine when we finally hear Xander speaking and he goes, Daddy, I need Ribena. I haven't got time.
There's a noise as well that Adam does all the time, which I notice this, and it's just, ugh.
Yeah.
he does it like at the end of every sort of dialogue. He ends a scene with, ugh. Like it's a sort of really intense burp. But yeah,
Ian keeps making.
So it's like, I don't like you. I don't care.
No.
They're just both silly.
Yeah.
I love them both because they're Adam and Ian, but silly old things.
Yes.
But that was also a sort of like reason for Adam not to get that job, wasn't it? So he's obviously going to carry on being at Home Farm. Yeah. Yawn.
Yes.
And so he should, because he's such a wally. He doesn't deserve another job.
Well, I can't imagine anyone else putting up with him, to be honest.
No, but also to admit to embezzling money in front of your employer.
I just stole a bit of money.
Look, it was £5,000. Everybody makes mistakes. But you're right. Again, it's Adam being such an entitled prat, because he's never worked for anyone who isn't his dad.
Yeah.
So he
Well, he did doesn't... in... But then, you know, he went and did charity work in Africa. And that's where he was when he came back and declared he was gay and everything.
Yeah, but well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I can't, you know. But then there's not, I don't know, I presume he didn't have, it wasn't a sort of a regimented thing there and he was being sort of looked after. So he didn't have to make any, it's independent thought that seems to defeat him. When you know he's asked to actually solve a problem himself, that's when he goes to pieces.
But
like all the Aldridge children, except Debbie.
But also, it's like no one ever has like a panic about childcare, because I feel like compared to my life, which is like, oh my God, we're both working, I've got no one to look after the kids. They just all they do is either just not go to work,
yeah,
like, Ian hasn't been at work for ages, but I know that's because Grey Gables is
quiet. Or ring someone 100 yards down the road.
Yeah, and say, can I drop? And they're always in. That. Yeah. And I was like, wow, maybe that's just living in a village. You've just got childcare on tap.
No, but it isn't, because everybody's working. Why wasn't Helen working?
That's what I thought, you know. And also, it's like, God, if I'm asking someone to look after even one of my kids, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. So kind of thank you.
Don't worry, just let him play with broken glass or anything. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's allergic to everything, but just feed him anything anyway. But Adam is, Ian was just like, here's Xander. I'm off to make a big scene with Adam. Oh, but I don't really think you should do that, Ian. I'm going to anyway.
It was very odd, that, because he turned up. It wasn't like he said, I'll drop him off now. Could you look after him? He turned up for a picnic and then went, oh, fuck this. I'm going.
Exactly. You keep so the key. Rude.
See ya. Yeah.
So rude. I mean, imagine doing that with your best mate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wouldn't be your best mate for very long, wouldn't
you? No, imagine if someone did that to you. You'd be like, well, actually.
No. Have plans. Take it away. God.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
But
how did
so
you feel
enjoyed
about Roy and Layla?
You know, it was Margaret Cable
yes,
Smith playing that.
Yes, I did
character.
Know.
She's a good comedy actress.
Yes, she is.
I thought she was a great,
I really liked her voice, actually.
Character.
She had a little bit of a twang to it, which was
I thought she was very, very good, actually. Mm. Although I didn't, and I really actually, I did enjoy that. Again, like, completely ludicrous. Yeah. Like, I didn't clock that they were in London. They went to London, Lucy.
I know. No one ever tells them. No one ever pops in
no,
to see us.
No, I didn't
today.
Hear, I didn't know. And I didn't hear Roy getting confused on the tube. So I was like, I was
going round
impressed.
And round the central line for 300 times because he couldn't work out when to get off.
And like he's ever been to London before, and then he was like, oh yeah, the restaurant's this way.
Yeah.
No, I was impressed. But then how weird was this? Was this the story arc? So, you know, when he was like, when she couldn't just go, oh yeah, sorry, you've given me the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Which obviously would.
Yeah.
If someone put the wrong thing in front of you, just go,
especially if
sorry,
you're
that's
a teacher, you're kind of trained
exactly
to being assertive and challenging things.
But then was the story arc that she couldn't, you know, complain then, and then when she was in the campsite she went completely anal and completely the other way?
Yeah, I think,
because like,
so
she was like, oh, I'm too English to make a fuss.
Yeah, but then,
and then because
taught
Roy
her how
has
to make a fuss
her, yes,
she then went and did it with his daughter. Yes, I think that was it. It was somewhat ham-fisted.
It was a bit clumsy, wasn't it? But also in the restaurant when Roy going, well, Layla, here's a few things you could say.
God.
You could say, sorry there, I didn't order the duck. I was like, oh my God, this is like their first date. And I think I would
have
just
gone to the loo and headed straight out of the window.
You know that word that you can say to bar staff to get you out of there, ASAP? As soon as he was like, well, no, I didn't order the duckling, but jolly good as it looks, I would prefer something more poultry-like. I mean, I was like, huh? This is weird. And because she seemed quite cool and nice, and you'd think she'd be like, oh, shut up, you dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let me get on with my duck, it's fine. Anyway, but I loved...
Because they made a thing out of it, and it was such a weird thing to make a thing out of.
Yes.
It kind of resulted in me thinking, oh, is she pretending to be?
I thought that,
you
too.
You know, it was... They made too much of it and made it really confusing.
Because then when she was like going... I mean, obviously it's annoying if a cow butts into your tent, but what are you doing in a tent in the first place?
Yeah. And anyway, she was going on about how lovely the cows were and all that stuff. So, you know, they do annoying
And
things.
No one died.
No.
Or even got scratched, as far as I could find out. But, I then thought, oh, right, it's to show Roy that actually her personality is not what he thought, and she's flips out at everything.
Mm.
But then that wasn't the... It then also, having been so interested in her, he was like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, what? A minute ago, you were like about... It's like Roy and tents.
He needs
it's
to
the
keep
tent
out of
thing.
Them. Yeah.
Because there's does. Glastonbury resulting in Phoebe.
Yeah.
Lizzie
resulting in
chaos. And but why? I also could not get my... I feel like I missed the bit where Layla said... Oh, and I'm coming to Ambridge and I'm going to be camping, and that's our date. What was that?
I think she said, I was coming to Ambridge because I want to see where you live. He told her about the, which you're not supposed to do. It's a second date. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to, you know.
She's like travelling like 4 hours up the country.
If it had gone wrong, what would she have done? Anyway.
Yeah.
And Phoebe, because he didn't know, Phoebe said, well, she must be expecting to be having a good time, Dad, because she's booked the campsite. So he didn't know that she'd booked the tent.
Oh, right, yes.
Because
that's
otherwise
also
he would
weird.
Have said, oh, my daughter runs that. But because she'd booked it without telling him.
Right. But then what did he think she was going to do? She's got to stay the night somewhere.
Well, I think he thought she was going to go home that day.
Oh, I see. That they were just going to have a day together. Yeah. Okay, I missed all that. Yeah. I just thought, oh,
well, I think,
a date at the
campsite. I'm filling in the blanks myself.
I mean, not that it matters.
No,
it was all,
you know, we like to get all these things squared off, don't we, Harry?
But with the highlight, right, I have to say, like, there was so, I felt there were
Kate
loads
was the
of
highlight.
Yes.
Kate.
But this week, there were actually loads of comedy awards, I feel. Yeah. I thought Roy has really come into this sort of like blustering
hapless idiot.
When him and Kate together, I mean, Kate was pure.
They're like Laurel and Hardy.
Yes.
You know, sort of all this really sort of bumptious, full of herself.
And Kate was like,
who's
that character?
Scratched the top of his head.
You know that character that you like as well? Is it who used to be played by Belinda Lang on the radio? Do you know who I'm talking about? You like her. Is it Pim or something? Or don't worry.
Lucia.
Yeah. Map and Lucia.
Yeah.
It had that sort of like, Kate, didn't you think she had that sort of, you know, her amazing put downs and stuff?
Yes.
Anyway, I felt like that was
also
the whole
but
week.
I love Kate's bit of self-reflection when she actually said, I don't think I made that any better, really, did I? It's the first time Kate's ever said, oh.
Why don't you just go and have some fun? And he was like, fun?
But honestly, him trying to explain fun to Kirsty was hilarious. She was
I mean, that's the thing. It was all really silly. The storylines were so silly, but there was so much comedy in every episode. Yeah. And that, Kate was unbelievably funny.
Yeah.
Even Phoebe was like on good form. Phoebe was finally enjoying being on the Archers.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
Not
she
sounding
got to
quite
do...
so tortured all the time.
Yeah. She got to like break out into smiles.
I was going to say her laugh was really good.
Lovely. It was so. Yeah. It was so really nice to hear Phoebe laughing and having a good time. Yeah. It really warmed my heart.
Yeah.
Roy was just hilarious. He's really, really blossomed into being a funny character.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And then you know, it was so dynamic and quick. You know, I thought the directing this week was really good as well, because everybody was totally on point, weren't they, with their lines.
I wondered whether, because Margaret Caborn Smith is, for people that don't know, she's also in John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme. And she's a very good comic actress. And I didn't know whether, because she was...
Do you think she bought
they upped their game a bit, maybe.
Yeah, because, well, they were all very energetic scenes as well, weren't they? Which clearly the actors loved doing. Yeah. And, then the Kate thing was so funny, and the website, and then the Kirsty and Roy curtain scene I thought that was very funny as well. You know, just like, you know, their comic timing was excellent.
Yeah.
And then Joy and Linda.
Yes.
And then Linda and Lillian. It was like, it couldn't get any more comedy gold, I thought.
It was a series of Morecambe and Wise-esque comedy partnerships.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, I've come back from holiday. Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank God I don't have to listen to Alice.
Yeah.
So then there was like, there was all that Layla scene. Then there was the Joy and Linda sweet little funny, you know, oh, we got so-and-so from Love Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is just sort of quite funny. And Linda sort of going, oh yes, no, but we'd get creme de la creme in Ambridge. Again, it was like the class
explain
thing.
What the word phrase creme de la creme meant.
They reminded me of do you remember when Linda and Vicky had quite a similar bond, didn't they?
Yeah,
a sweet bond.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of
Linda's very happy. She's a bit like Emma in Austin. She loves having someone to patronise and sort of feel that she's bringing up to her standards, you know.
But also Joy doesn't mind doing that, but Joy is intelligent enough to realise that she has to let Linda do that.
Yeah,
really,
Joy's quite a kind of a, she sort of has a little private smile to herself, doesn't she?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so that was quite nice.
Yeah.
And then Linda and Lillian. I mean, I actually was guffawing.
I loved it when Lillian said, it's a hospital. She said, well, I didn't know you'd be standing next to a doctor. And she said, it's a hospital.
And then she went, oh, darling, I'd much rather be on the sofa cuddling up to May Gray or, you know, whatever it was. Even like those just throwaway lines really made me laugh this week.
It was fabulous. Yeah.
Two and a half hours in A&E, darling.
Looking at me like I was a fraud. And Linda went, well, it's your fault.
It was just quite so funny. Because it was sort of nicely, neatly wrapped up as well. I thought it was a clever story.
Because
it wasn't like overblown and overdone. It was just sort of a funny little anecdote almost.
Yes.
And I actually thought 2.5 hours in A&E, pretty good.
Yes.
Usually you're in there for six.
2.5 hours before you're seen. Yeah. I've been looked at, but I've not been seen. Yeah.
Maybe Lillian was breathless and, you know, they worried. Put her in the COVID ward.
Let's hope Lizzie never goes in. She'd never come out. She's still breathless.
Oh, well, yeah. I want to see a doctor. It feels a little bit worse. Actually, could you just explore further?
We've got two emails.
Oh, good.
Leslie Wood said, thank you once again for a very funny podcast. What are we supposed to make of the comedy PE teacher? This is going back a bit, sorry.
The comedy
PE teacher drinking himself insensible on the night before his wedding in the context of the long-running tragedy of Alice's alcoholism. Why don't Eddie and Ed reflect on the inconsistency of society's attitudes to the subject, especially as their own family has been so adversely affected by addiction? Although I am glad Mr. York didn't choke on his own vomit. I'm glad about that as well, Leslie, because it would be very nice to hear on the radio, for one thing. It's true, though. It's kind of like, ha-ha, comedy drunk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But Alice is like dirty drunk. No, we're all right. We have a bottle of wine a night. Yeah. We're all right. She has a bottle of wine a night. She's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's that hypocrisy, isn't it?
And actually, that was the sort of, that was those, one of the little mini arc story things that didn't really work.
Mm.
That was sort of, I didn't, it wasn't particularly funny or interesting.
No.
But unlike this week.
Yeah. Unlike this week. And Barbara Williams said, ooh, you opened a can of worms, mentioning Moik, Vicky and baby Beth and I. There was a brilliant presentation at the first Academic Archers Conference on this very topic. Bethany need not have gone to Birmingham. For a start, we know there is a very good special school in the area, Sunrise House, something like that, as David did some work in their sensory garden, thereby hooking up again with the delectable Sophie and making Ruth jealous, hence Sam, Wheels Within Wheels. Oh. However, children with Down syndrome usually do fine at their local primary school anyway. Yeah. Bethany need not have become an issue to be dealt with. She could have just grown up in her own community within her family like any other child does. Then we could have enjoyed the pleasure of Moik and Vicky's company for many more years. No need for exile. Hashtag bring back Bethany. Love the podcast.
Yeah.
Barbara. Thank you very much, Barbara. You're right, though.
I totally agree.
There was this sort of, I don't know, it seemed to me quite a cynical decision about, shall we go down the full bells and, you know, the sexy route of, you know, the Helen and Rob storyline but it did make national news. But I didn't see why we had to have one or the other.
Why couldn't, I've never understood why Vicky and Mike couldn't have stayed.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just stayed, had their baby and just got on with their life like everyone else?
Yeah.
And just been, you know, we could... Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, but then maybe we're being a bit unfair by saying it was a cynical decision to, you know, get rid of them so they didn't need to do that storyline.
Mm.
I don't know. Mm. But yeah, I miss them. I wish they were back. Maybe they will come back.
Mm. Yeah. Well, because Roy doesn't mention them very much either, does he?
No, exactly. That's the thing. Like Bethany must now be 10 or
yeah.
Why couldn't they just have stayed?
But then we always want everyone to, because I wanted Hayley to stay because I liked Hayley.
Yeah, I liked Hayley too.
You know, yeah. And like they all just disappear. But
yes, it's odd though. But
if we kept everyone we liked, we'd have a cast of millions, wouldn't we? And everyone would get about 2 seconds of mic time.
And you know what? If Vicky had stayed, I sort of feel like maybe she'd be too close to Joy as a character.
Yeah.
But I miss Vicky, miss Mike, and would have liked to have got to know Bethany.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yes. Shall we do Mr. Noobs?
Yes.
We've decided, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Noobs is now... He knows too much, so he'll have to be killed.
He knows too much.
So we have got an idea for what we could do with him, so to speak.
He doesn't know.
And yes, he doesn't know this yet. But if any of you have got ideas about what you'd like him to do or something you'd like him to cover...
But then, remember, it's radio.
Yes, let us know. And it should not involve... I mean, he can record in the nude if you like, but you won't know he's doing it.
Oh, did he do the podcast in the nude, Lucy?
I think so, yes.
Oh, didn't I sanitise the seat?
No. I squirted it with a bit of
thank you.
Mr. Muscle after it'd gone. So. Gave it a wipe down. Right, Mr. Newbie, go.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Well, after my brief moment in the limelight last week, it's back to the cupboard under the stairs for me. I can't complain. I got to sit in a chair, look out of a window and drink some second-hand tea, so it was a banner day all round for me. Back to the monologue, though, and Layla's here, and she sounds lovely.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, I'm so pleased, even if I was wrong about her being fake. Roy might be dull as the toe caps of my kids' shoes, but he deserves a bit of happiness. Roy's clearly trying to impress and has obviously gone posh in an effort to sweep Layla off her feet, even though I'm not sure he's any more comfortable with the idea of candied cob nuts than she is. I do love the idea of sharing a crossword book, though, and I reckon these two might be all right. This thing with the starter's a bit odd, though. What are we doing here? Establishing that Layla won't stand up for herself? Helen seems to think that Adam wouldn't cheat on Ian again, and whatever it is she's been huffing, I wish it were available over the counter. Ian, on the other hand, clearly has low expectations of Adam, which he's dead on, albeit for the wrong reasons this time. Checking his messages, though? Good Lord, man. Have some pride in yourself, will you? If you don't trust him enough not to have to hack his phone, that should be all you need to know. It doesn't matter what's in the texts, you need to get out. But, you know, go your own way, even if that does involve storming into a business meeting to confront your husband. It should have become extremely obvious very, very early in the conversation that he was barking up the wrong tree.
Yes,
but he persisted anyway.
Yep.
This is excruciating. Mm-hmm. Ian's pulled a neat trick here. He's taken a situation in which he was 100% in the right and has made himself, nonetheless, look bad. Mm. Linda begins her week by correcting a quote which Joy had got exactly right, albeit slightly truncated. Linda's complimenting Joy on her people skills without the slightest trace of irony. But you don't have to scratch the surface too hard to see that Joy's wrapping Linda around her little finger here. She's doing it in such a thoroughly charming way too that I love her all the more for it. And if you think that it's Linda who's ultimately going to organise the celebrity and not Joy, well, I have a bridge I'd like to sell you. No, Adam, this really isn't about both of you, regardless of how hard Ian is trying to let you off the hook. This is about you. We're about 5 sentences into this discussion and I'd have punched Adam 3 times already and then left him and then popped back to punch him again. He's deflecting, he's making excuses for himself and he's shifting blame even when he thinks he's being vulnerable and honest. And Ian's confession that he can keep it all down when everything's good is all you need to know. Good God, Kate just accused Phoebe of being self-obsessed, and I think I felt the earth wobble on its axis. Still, Kate's going to make up for it by barging in on Roy and Layla, which will at least be interesting. With any luck at all, though, at least she'll save us some kissing noises, because that's definitely where this is headed.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank God for cows. The nick of time. Oh, but hang on, what's this? She doesn't know that she's talking to Phoebe, and A, she seems to be much taller than in the photographs Phoebe's seen, and B, she's complaining so expertly that Adele has asked her to write a song for her next album. In fact, her voice and attitude have changed so much that I hardly recognised her.
Yeah.
Oh, this is bad. What on earth is this woman, whoever she is, up to? Roy's not rich, is he? What is going on? Is Layla just playing a long game with all this indignation? Is Phoebe going to say something about her height? And is Kate helping? I mean, the answer to that, of course, is no, she's not. Oh, God. Poor Roy. I hope he never goes on Tinder. He'll get eaten alive. Oh, poor Phoebe, too. She's taking the fall for all of this, and it's not her fault. I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash, but in the meantime, why is Phoebe talking to Kirsty about this? They don't live together, They don't work together.
They do live together.
Is this just a chance meeting or another one of those mysterious best friend pairings? I'm not sure that Roy is fine either, no matter how much he says he is. If only there were somebody in the immediate vicinity who could, you know, offer him some comfort. Having said that, if Roy is, as he says, looking for fun, then Kirsty's definitely not the answer. She's about as much fun as colonic irrigation. Oh, God.
No.
When Roy
unfair.
Showed Kirsty an unspecified picture on his screen, though, I feared for the worst, but it sounds like it is Tinder. He appears to have swiped left on a large number of porn bots. And how old is Roy? Do we know? Because, honestly, he's a child in a man's body. Is he all there? Has he always been a bit hard of thinking? Linda's talking to somebody who owns a dog called Ruby, and it sounds just like she's talking to a slightly less arch version of herself. Who is this? Lillian?
Yes.
Ha! Yes, it is. I'm slowly getting better at this, it seems. Surprise, surprise, Linda doesn't have a celebrity, and this is all setting up perfectly for Joy to save the day, just as I predicted. Come on, Joy. Put us all out of our misery, please.
They do live together. Kirsty and Phoebe, because they are all living in Roy's house.
Mm-hmm. Since Philip.
Yes. So
since Philip.
Yes, Philippe. So they would. So it would be natural that she would talk to her about it. Yes.
But you know the what Mr. Newby was saying about. Do you think we were reading too much into? Who is this woman, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, but he was right, though. The tall bit was...
Yeah. Well, you know, did you see what the academic archers were?
No.
What people were saying, I think, I mean, I don't literally... I didn't even hear her say she's tall. But then there was thing like, oh, she's trans. So
really?
Basically, yeah, that was on... I saw that on Twitter or Facebook. People... I saw a thing. It had become a sort of, oh, this is going to be a trap. Literally just because they said she's tall.
I've got a lot of tall friends, and not all of them are trans.
No, but I was like, where did that come from? There must have been some other, I don't know if there were other indications.
It was when they were looking at the
yes,
picture
because there
of
was
her
all the
and
suspicions.
The teacher's thing. They yeah. were saying, and then there's that really, really tall one when it can't be her.
But why couldn't it be her? Because
I don't know.
But yeah, but I felt like the height thing sort of had to really pass me by. I didn't realise it was a big deal. And I mean, and also, like, I'm sure, well, isn't it clear now that Layla was just a guest appearance? Because I think Roy did sound like, yeah, I'm totally not bothered.
Yeah, but why would there be a huge palaver about it being Margaret? Why would they just not get...
But you know, but I feel like, because they did, you know, for that PE teacher, they brought in a new character for that sort of
Yeah, but we didn't know who he was. He wasn't a name,
no.
was he?
Yes, and why is. Would they have been like, ooh, mysterious. Yeah, why yeah, isn't she on social media?
And, you know, Margaret Caborn Smith tweeted about being on The Archers and all that.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, interesting.
I do.
Well, maybe
do you ever think
back.
That the scriptwriters are sitting at home going, oh my God, have you heard them obsessing about this? They think this now. They think,
I know.
We're forensic in our kind
it's
of,
like,
it's a clue. And
it's
not.
Like, it's totally like I did, obviously I did. I did history of art and Italian at university. Mm-hmm. And in the history of art lectures, I remember like just thinking people, you could put your hand up and say, yeah. Because there's like a blue blob there, I really feel that like represents like the moon when it's in transit. And the teacher would be like, yeah, no, totally. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I remember like sort of thinking, and these like real poshos like me would just be like, yeah, and like there's like a red dot down there. And I really feel like that represents hell. And then I remember thinking like, this is ridiculous. You could say anything you want, like literally make up anything. But as long as you're saying something or writing it, you'll get full marks because you've made an observation.
Yes.
So you can literally read anything into anything and people will go, yeah, that's totally right. That's content. So full marks, you get a 2-1.
First.
Thank you. I mean, honestly, if you want to go and do a piss easy degree. Oh, no, I feel awful saying that. But I mean, if you want to get good marks in a degree, go study history of art and say whatever you want and remember some dates and then you'll pass. Well done. Well done, you. But it was a lovely degree. I mean, all you do is look at pictures.
For any parents whose children are about to get their A-level results, there was careers guidance on behalf of Harriet.
Well, I mean, no, because it's a jolly nice degree. You just get to look at pictures.
You get to go to Italy and you meet such nice people.
Honestly, Lucy, it was simply super.
I've been to Tuscany 3 times with the people from my...
And because I was at Edinburgh University, I mean, I was the only, if you know Edinburgh, I was the only person doing history of art that didn't live in the new town.
Right.
If you know Edinburgh, you know what that is. And everybody else, I didn't have any bangles. And that was a mistake.
Yes. I bet
my hair wasn't
hurriedly,
long enough. I didn't know where you got them from. I think you had to have gone to India the year before and bought them there. Yeah.
I bought them off this really, really marvellous little man. And he actually had to sleep in his house with his, with his wife. And
there were actually lots of people on the course who were, you know, Earl something's son or so. Yeah. And I have to say, a lot of them weren't jolly friendly, Lucy.
Really?
No.
Didn't Prince Harry do history?
He did it in St Andrews, with all, you know, all of that lot did. Because I know it sounds awful, but it is quite an easy degree, or it was when I did it. And then you
Can
do
I
it with
just
Italian.
Ask how we're now talking about history.
Sorry. Because that's all we do in our podcast.
Is talk about the artists.
Is talk about the pictures and make observations from that.
That was whoever was responding to the academic archers. It was just, it's just, I think we are very forensic in our listening. And sometimes I think the script writers must be just listening slack jawed to us or to Twitter thinking, where the hell have they got that from? Or even fancy them remembering that when they wrote it and they can't even remember it.
But I also think that they must be like, yes, I've got the funny story this week.
Because
I did think this week, whoever wrote it, I don't know if it was Kerry, but it was brilliant.
I think Kerry, because we're back to 5 days a week soon.
5 days a week. Do you think that's more work for us? I feel like it is.
Of course it is. Kerry's written the first week, I think. First 2 weeks, maybe, of the back to the 5 days thing.
Back to the five.
Of course, we've not heard a word from Alice since she's gone to Nottingham.
Oh, I think they'll give us a break from Alice, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, no, actually, there's quite a lot coming up. I looked into the future on the website.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's lots about the Aldridges and breakdowns and, breaking apart. And So maybe she turns up again.
Okay.
It'd be nice if Amy turned up with her.
Yes.
Amy was nice.
Yes, we liked her. Yes, she was sane. She probably won't be after...
Maybe... Oh, you know what?
After 2 weeks in close confines with Alice, I can't imagine anyone be struggling to hang on to their sanity.
Well, Amy could get off with Roy, couldn't she?
Yes.
She's like, maybe like 10 years younger, but... I think she's probably a bit too bright for Roy.
Should we have a look at the script?
Yes! Okay, and now we go to Frazzles of Felpersham, where the women of Ambridge are enjoying their newfound freedom.
As Freedom Day sees the reopening of bars and clubs across the country, the women of Ambridge celebrate with a night out at Frazzles of Felpersham, the city's premier and, indeed, only nightclub.
Where'd you say we'd meet him, Clary?
By this corner. Then he's got room to turn the thing around. The limo's so long he has to have a run up at it. Have we got everybody?
I reckon so. Let's do an head count. Me, you, Mum, where are your shoes? Lillian, is that Lillian over there? Fallon, Natasha... Auntie Cardboard. Oh, we should have Mrs. Willey. Where is Mrs. Willey?
Last I saw of her, she said her knee was giving her jip, so Freddie gave her a painkiller. Strong ones, he said. He's DJing tonight. He's doing a good job. Oh, there she is, look, dancing away under that street light. Oh, what's she dancing to, though? I think it's music from the kebab shop.
Dunno. Mrs. Willey? You okay? What's she saying? She's thirsty. I'll see to her. I've got half a Bacardi Breezer in my handbag. Oh, look, the top's come off and it's soaked through me mask now. I'll suck it out.
Hey, what was that, love? Your top's come off and you'll suck what?
Oh, don't be daft. Me drink's come open, that's all. I'm waiting for me lift.
Oh, come back inside, I'll get you another.
Will you indeed? I don't think so. I'm a married woman and a grandmother, I love you now.
Get away.
I am, but I was married very young, barely in my tabard.
Don't I know you from somewhere?
Oh, stop it, honestly.
I do, really. It's your voice.
Well, you may have heard me show. I am by way of being a bit of a local celebrity. Not that I'd call it that. I was a fixture on the schedules from...
Cheese!
I beg your pardon?
You sold me some cheese. I couldn't see your face because of your mask. You sold me some blue stuff.
Oh, I see. And what did you think?
Well, I had to have the car valeted twice before anybody else could get in once I'd got it home. Put it that way.
Susan, we've got a problem.
What now?
Mrs. Woolley's ordered a sheesh and challenged the hummus man to a fight.
She can't do that. A sheesh at this time of night. I hope she's got Rennie's.
Rennie's what? Oh, hang on, I can't see Emma now. She said she needed the loo. Oh, look, there she is. What's she doing with that traffic cone? Oh, well, she don't need the loo no more anyway. Oh, where is Eddie? They'll all be coming out soon. Freddie's doing his big finish.
Well, I hope Emma doesn't do a big finish. Not on a traffic cone. Clary, darling, can you ring Eddie again? I need to take these shoes off. Oh, the limo's so lovely and comfy.
Yeah, although I had Christine Barford spread across me lap most of the way with her head out the window singing Hi Ho Silver Lining. She'd been on the T.O. Pape before we even left. Emma! Emma, that's disgusting.
Oh, here comes Mrs. Woolley. Oh, who's that with her? Oh, the kebab man. He's not coming home with us, is he?
Why not? As long as he takes that apron off. It's a bit blood-stainy.
Well, at least she's got a tango now. That'll perk her up a bit. I don't know what was in that fourth round of cocktails. What were they called?
Flaming somethings. Flaming Noras. Sambuca, vodka, raspberry liqueur and tasty pee.
Oh, that's what I can smell. Oh, look, here he is. Thank God for that. Eddie! Right, who've we got? Let's get you all together. Christine, you get in, and you probably need to be near the window, I should think. Susan, you next. Ah, can you give Mrs. Woolley a hand? Oh, no, the kebab man's got her. Are you all right in there, kebab man? Fallon, Natasha, don't forget your boots, love. You left them over there. In you get... Oh, and then Lillian. Where's Lillian? She was... Ah... There she is, look, coming out the Tesco Metro. Prosecco she's got. There's not going to be enough Benish in the world for this car tomorrow morning. In you get then, Lillian. There. Oh, they've gone. Well, Eddie will realise in a minute. No, he's turned off. Oh, well, a bit of fresh air will do me good. And a walk. Hi-ho, silver lining. Got that song in my head now.
So, that's that. There'll be another podcast up next week. Subscribe to us on iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. And if you give us a review, we will love you long time.
Oh, we love you. Oh, can I just butt in there and say there's been some new reviews on our podcast. Yeah. And they are so lovely.
Oh.
And they actually, I mean, I have been tired, but I read them and I did get a little bit of grit in my eye. Because it makes you go, oh my God, I really can't wait to do the podcast again.
Yeah.
And that's quite unusual.
I definitely. For you, definitely.
It is when it's at 7 in the morning. Oh my God, I really can't wait to get up early and do the podcast. But no, thank you so much. It genuinely spurs us on.
Yes.
And it means that we've gone back up to 5 stars.
With a welly up its bum. It spurs us on. Have we gone back to five stars?
Yes, it looks Yay! Like it. Yeah, I know, thank God. Yeah, because the Ambridge on the Couch ones have outnumber the doggy yes. ones, where you didn't have your microphone yes. switched on.
My dogging podcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. We are...
@onambridge.
On Twitter, or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter.
@newbiecouch. And in the meantime, thanks for having me back, everybody. I feel warmed up now. Woohoo! An hour in. I'm ready to go. Let's do the podcast, Lucy. Press record. Yay! I think the caffeine's really kicked in now.
Yeah. It's like a delayed reaction with you. Were you on a satellite or something?
Yeah, shame it didn't happen an hour ago. But it's goodbye from the both of us. From the three of us.
Three of us. Yes.
And have a lovely week.
Bye.